Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Think about the way that God has designed our bodies. Maybe you've heard this before, that it's no accident that God gave us two ears, but only one mouth. And how we use those gifts of God to us really does make a considerable difference in our lives for ourselves and for everyone else around us. Listening and responding always go together. We look for both of those things in our lives and in the lives of those we love, of those people who are around us, and so does our Lord. As we see in our reading today, we see the account of a young man, Samuel, with what we might call a listening heart. Young Samuel had been dedicated to God's service in the tabernacle by a grateful mother who was so thankful for God finally giving her what she had been praying for so many years, a child of her own. Imagine that, so grateful that she gave that child that she had been waiting for so long up to service to God and God's temple. She had listened to God's word, she trusted in God, and she wanted her son to do the same. And so that's why she named him Samuel, which either could mean that God hears, God has heard my prayer, or listens to God. The ability to hear, to listen, is a precious gift of God that so often, if you think about it, we take for granted, just like so many other blessings from God that we take for granted. Even the things that we do every day and every moment almost of every day. But now think about what a tragedy it really is to be able to hear, but not really to listen. To be untouched in your heart and in your mind by the guidance of God and His Word and of other people around you. The true tragedy that is. And as we can see, as we look at the world around us, we see that it happens all the time, and it can even happen in our own hearts as well. Well, that's a sobering message for us that is implied in the readings from God's Word that we have before us today. And so today we're called by God through His words that we hear today to think about what a great asset, a great blessing from God it is to have a listening heart, a heart that is eager and willing to listen to God's Word and to follow His will in our lives. We see that's exactly the kind of heart that young Samuel had, as we just heard in the verses from 1 Samuel chapter 3. We see that the high priest, Eli, who was Samuel's mentor, gave Samuel directions that all of us also can benefit from. We just heard how Samuel had heard a voice calling his name in the dark. He just assumed, of course, that it was his master, Eli, the high priest. And so he went running to him. And of course, after the third time, Eli also realized what was going on, that this was, in fact, God calling him. So he told Samuel, God should call again. Answer, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Servant's heart. It is a heart that knows how to listen, knows how to listen to the words of its master. A heart that knows how to listen to other people around us, most importantly, to listen to God. And we see that young Samuel seems to have had a heart like that, a servant's heart. He paid attention to his parents, even when they took him away from home and dropped him off there at the tabernacle at a very young age to live apart from his family and to grow up in service to the Lord and to God's high priest. Samuel listened, and he obeyed. He listened to his master, the high priest Eli, and to other people who served there in the temple. But most of all, as we see in our reading, he appears to have lived with an awareness that God was guiding his life. When we think about that, it's what a blessing it is to have that realization, to have our hearts and our minds shaped by that attitude. It's a gift of God that we should nurture within ourselves and within our children and our families, no matter how young or old we are, to be attentive to the voice of God through His Word in our lives. Think about that attitude of a servant. And Jesus, who is the Lord of the universe, the ruler over everything in the earth, who deserves to have all glory and praise and honor, but who said, "The Son of Man," referring to Himself, Jesus, "did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life as a ransom for many." Even Jesus, who is the true, eternal, all-powerful God Himself, He listened to the voice of His Heavenly Father. His life took the form of a servant, of the servant, the suffering servant that God had promised would come to save the whole world. He did that for the sake of each and every one of us. Jesus devoted His whole life to saving us, to listening to the will of His Heavenly Father. We see that He obeyed that will of God the Father, even when it meant humiliation and great suffering and an agonizing death upon the cross and the agonizing spiritual pain of being totally forsaken, cut off from the love and blessing of God the Father. We all need a servant-like heart. We gain that gift, that servant-shaped heart, over a lifetime of hearing and responding to God's Word, not just in an hour or a few hours or in a few days. It takes a lifetime of saying together with Samuel, "Speak, Lord, for Your servant is listening." Think about all the voices in your life, in the world around you, that are clamoring, crying out for your attention. What a noisy age we really live in. Think about all the different voices that we hear and see on TV and on the internet that are all coming at us with their own different perspectives, and many or perhaps even most of them are not God's perspective. All those voices that are often claiming to have something good for us, but often they're only deafening our ears and dulling our minds to God's voice. When we stop to think about it, is our age today really that much different from Samuel's time? We still have the palm readers and the astrologists, the fortune tellers, trying to get us to believe some other secret special knowledge hidden from us other than what God reveals to us in His Word. We have advertisements everywhere insisting on a few minutes of our time to try to sell us the products or the guarantee for happiness and success and relief from all of life's ills, from weight loss plans to handy tools to economy cars to skincare products to luxury vacations. Political strategists still promote simple solutions to enormously complex problems. And the false gods of other religions and philosophies, other spiritual movements are often clamoring for our souls. If Eli, the high priest, could speak to us today as he did to Samuel, he would say, "Listen to what God has to say. Take time to meditate on God's Word and to worship Him. Turn your soul to the Word of God's Spirit, because He has much to teach you, much that you cannot learn from the world around you." The truth is that as we exercise our hearts and minds in listening to God's voice, we will know more and more the deep and sustaining love that God has for us. And how do we do that? How do we exercise our hearts and minds to listen for God's will? Well, first we read the Bible, because as we do so, we'll recognize the voice of our Lord Jesus. We'll hear His words of mercy, of grace, of forgiveness for all of our sins. We'll hear about the hope that He promises to us, the strength for daily living, the help that he promises to provide to us each and every day of our lives. God also blesses us with other Christians in our lives around us that we are able to listen to and look to for guidance and advice from the way that they have learned God's word and applied it in their own lives. The Christians around us have something to give each and every one of us as they help us to walk along the way of God's truth, always with the goal of heaven before us. And pray. Pray to God that he would develop within you some sanctified common sense. Not just regular worldly common sense, although that's good and important to have too, but common sense that is dedicated to God's ways. Pray. Ask God for his blessing. Spend time with fellow Christians to encourage one another and to be encouraged by each other. Spend time in God's word. And you will learn to listen to the voice of God and to follow his guiding in your life. Think about how every year many people, even adults, go to school. They take special courses and classes and hear lots of instruction, learning lots of skills, trying to maybe get an advancement in their work or professional life. Some people respond to what they hear in those kinds of classes, and they turn what they have learned into blessings for themselves and for other people. But others don't. Others don't put what they have heard into practice in their lives. Taking time to listen to the Lord's voice for our lives is our number one need in life. Samuel responded to what God told him. Following the verses that we read from 1 Samuel chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "The Lord let none of his words fall to the ground." As we read on, we see that God called Samuel to be a prophet, to be God's spokesman, relaying a messages from God to God's people, the people of Israel. Samuel served both God and his fellow men. His heart was convinced of God's love for him. And he knew that his first calling, his highest calling in life, was to be a responsive child and man of God. We also need that same conviction in our hearts and lives, each and every one of us. Look at this beautiful building that we are worshiping. Those of us who worship here frequently, we probably, you know, have stopped noticing all the time what a beautiful and marvelous space this is. But as I have opportunity to introduce visitors to our worship space and to show them around a little bit, one of the comments that I often hear is, "Wow, they sure don't build them like this anymore." But why don't they? Yes, surely the cost of land and of building materials and of labor has certainly increased over time. But it's also true that a church building is a reflection of the convictions of its members. Now think about this neighborhood where this church building is located, and you probably know if you've been coming here for some time that this has really always been a working class neighborhood, a neighborhood of immigrants and of the children and grandchildren of immigrants. Certainly not the upper crust, the upper socioeconomic level of society, but the grace of God has so touched the hearts of the people who lived in this neighborhood that they gave their treasure and their time and their talents to build this house of God so that their children and their children's children and new generations and new neighbors that they wouldn't even meet until they all get to heaven could come here to hear and learn God's word just as they have. As the grace of our Lord Jesus touches our hearts, we grow in our convictions. Sin is challenged in our hearts, and we are led by God's law to confess our sins, to repent, to look to him for forgiveness and for strength to live according to his will. More and more, we are convinced to hear and listen to God's voice, to serve him, to follow him above everything else in our lives and in this world. That's what God's first commandment is all about. You shall have no other God. Nothing else in your life shall be more important to you than me, God said. We see that as we heard the words of the gospel reading, the lives of Philip and Nathaniel and the other disciples of Jesus. The Savior who was born and who lived and who died on the cross for our sins and rose from the dead again, today again says to each of us, come, follow me. This is not a phony voice. It's not a trip on a dead-end trail that leads to nowhere, just wasted time and effort. No, it's the voice of our Lord and Master, of our Savior, looking for the response of faith and looking for newness of life in us. God's Word has come to us in Jesus. He has not only spoken to us, but he lived and died in our place in order to make us his own people forever. The Apostle John wrote in 1 John chapter 3, this is how we have come to know love. Jesus laid down his life for us, and we also should lay down our lives for our brothers. Listening to Jesus and responding to his call and direction brings a meaning and a worthwhileness to our lives that goes beyond all self-made achievement, all worldly notions of success and advancement and position and power. A listening heart and a life responsive to the blessings and promises of our Lord Jesus, engaged in service to God and to other people around us. That is the kind of heart that God wants us to develop and to have. May God grant to each one of us more and more that each day we are able to hear God's call and answer his call. Speak, Lord. Your servant is listening.